over the course of my life, I have gone back and forth about trusting my gut versus listening to what outside voices are telling me. And at this point, in my 41st year on Earth, I gotta tell you, my gut is always right. This is Na'ama, and this is Becoming Better. I was recently online on a Facebook group for observant Jewish women to discuss their concerns about real life. And one woman asked, is it normal for a man on a first date to talk only about himself and not ask any questions about me? She posted in her post that she thought it could be a red flag, but she was doubting herself. So she wanted to get the opinion of the hive mind. By the time I read the post, there had already been over 60 responses, and most, if not all of them, had chimed in with, yes, absolutely, this is a red flag, and you should 100% be concerned, because when someone just wants to talk about themselves, it means they don't care about you or have any interest in getting to know you. I wasn't really interested in giving her advice, so to speak, because so many other women had chimed in and done so very well. What concerned me was that she knew instinctively that these were red flags, but she was doubting herself and she wasn't trusting her own gut. So today let's talk a little bit about trusting your gut and what it means. We're going to talk a little bit about what gut intelligence is, what intuition and self-trust are, what red flags are, some examples of all of this, some scenarios that you can practice using your gut in everyday life, and some language around accepting and declining an offer because your gut tells you so. This is exciting. Let's do it. Okay, so let's start at the beginning. What does it mean to have gut intelligence or intuition? It is not just a saying, it's actually a real thing. Dr. Erica and Justin Sonnenberg, PhD, respectively, wrote a book in 2015 that was called The Good Gut, Taking Control of Your Weight, Your Mood, and Your Long-Term Health. In it, they talked about what a gut feeling is and how to trust your gut instinct and a gut check time that might show up. What I love about the article in the Scientific American on May 1st of that year is that it said the mind-gut connection is not just metaphorical. Our gut and brain are connected by an extensive network of neurons and a highway of chemicals and hormones that constantly provide feedback about how hungry we are, whether or not we're experiencing stress, or if we've ingested a disease-causing microbe. This information superhighway is called the brain-gut axis, and it provides constant updates on the state of affairs at your two ends. That sinking feeling in the pit of your stomach after looking at your post-holiday credit card bill is a vivid example of the brain-gut connection at work. You're stressed, and your gut knows it immediately. So this information about your gut and the wisdom that your body holds is important to know regardless of the subject matter. But for the purposes of this specific podcast episode, I am talking about your gut intelligence / intuition as it refers to and deals with all of your relationships. What do I mean? Specifically, when we deal with people in the world, we are called upon by our body to decide whether or not we trust a person or what they're saying or the situation as a whole. And that intuition that we have is inherently correct. It's inherently good. It's inherently accurate. The issue is that when we're children, our intuition is just our normal brain, and it's the way that we are accustomed to operating. We don't know any difference between what our gut tells us is so versus what an adult tells us is so. And as we grow older, between the educational system and family dynamics and intergenerational trauma and the climate that you're living in, whether it's socio-political or whether it's environmental, these different factors impact how much we retain our intuition and how likely it is that we're going to be able to maintain our intuitive gut intelligence as adults. So why does this matter? it matters for several reasons. Firstly, our intuition primarily helps us to trust ourselves. There are so many instances of my clients doubting themselves, doubting their own intuition, and doubting that they can accomplish or achieve whatever it is that they're setting themselves towards. Not only that, but when they're presented with an offer to do any particular thing, they can't trust themselves to know if this really is the right choice for them because they're too busy listening to their family members or their friends or their spouse or their children or the internet, and they lose sight of what their intuition is telling them. In other words, your intuition is whispering and the rest of the world is screaming. Now, this is hilarious to me because as a female presenting person, I am sure you probably could relate. There are so many times over the course of my life that I was told not to listen to my intuition, not to go with my gut, to do whatever the adult in the room was telling me to do, to ignore my dream, to ignore my pursuits, and to go with the safe route, go with the better route. And it turns out those pieces of advice were constantly wrong. It's ironic because, for the most part in my experience, men don't experience that in the same way that women do. And in our society, there's a weird dichotomy with it as well. If you're in some specific professions, having your intuition as part of your arsenal is mandatory and it makes you really good at your job. For example, military folks, specifically like Mossad, Navy SEALs, Black Ops groups that have to be able to trust their instincts immediately and their gut will tell them what they need to do. Police departments, detectives, attorneys, accountants, people who do investigations of all sorts have to be able to trust their guts. ER nurses and teachers and specialists that deal with children and people with disabilities, they see beyond seeing. They sense things that need to happen or that needs to be addressed, and they can't really explain it. Somebody who's cynical and super duper left-brained will probably say something like, oh, well, it's just years of training that has helped them get to that point. But at a certain point, all of these people will tell you, no, I really just had to listen to my gut. My gut was telling me something was wrong. And those folks in those situations, in those professions, they get praised for that. They get awards for that. They get promotions and commendations for that. Whereas the average schmuck on the street who's trusting their intuition on a blind date and their gut says, oh my God, run, is doubting themselves and saying, no, it's not really a red flag. Maybe I'll give this person another shot. Maybe I'll let them walk me home. I don't want to hurt their feelings. And they ignore their internal wisdom, their gut intelligence, and they end up putting themselves in really difficult situations. I am here to tell you that that is no way to live. So first of all, let's figure this out. Do you have intuition? Do you have gut intelligence? I 100% believe that you do. How does it present in your life? That's a different issue. For me, it presents, first of all, in the form of self-trust, meaning let's take driving in a car as an example. If I'm driving to work or driving to an event or going to the grocery store and my gut tells me, you know what? You normally go down the street, but today, turn right. Don't go down that way. The exact same thing happened actually this morning when I was dropping my son off, my youngest son, to his grandma's house. We have one main road that gets us back to the highway from her house, and we were driving down it, and something told me to be on the lookout. And it was only about 2 seconds before I noticed that something was amiss, but my gut rang true. And I immediately felt myself become alert. I felt the skin on the back of my neck tighten, and I started looking around to see what might be going on. Normally, this feeling of internal self-trust, it's like maybe noticing a cat, you know, on the side of the road, or maybe somebody has a flat tire and they might need help or something. So I looked around. And I immediately noticed there was a car in the middle of an intersection a half a mile away. And I also noticed that none of the other vehicles around it were moving, and it was a very busy intersection. I immediately understood, okay, there's been a collision. I need to make sure to go as far to the right-hand side as possible. There's going to be EMS as soon as possible. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Within the span of probably five breaths, I saw police, red-blue lights, in the distance heading that way, and I knew I had to get to the right-hand lane. Now, that's just an example of when my self-trust comes in. But this has been after a cultivation of this work for years and years and years, because I had to deprogram myself from believing that my mom knew better than me, my dad knew better than me, my teachers knew better than me, my sister knew better than me, and outsourcing all of my own faith in myself to other people. It's unfortunate because there's this weird blurry line, at least it's been for me, that on the one hand, you've got people saying you have to respect your elders and you have to respect people who have done more than you and been places that you haven't been, and you have to listen to them and trust them. And on the other hand, my gut's telling me, no, they're completely full of shit. I really need to do what I think is best. And there's this inner conflict that I lived with for decades. Ultimately, I ended up having to deprogram myself and then retrain myself to start listening to my intuition and trusting myself. So if you've been there, you understand what I'm talking about. Now, the next part of intuition that tends to come up a lot in my coaching sessions has to do with red flags. So for example, I host amazing 3-day workshops for women and female presenting folks around dating and how to communicate well. And in this amazing workshop, what we do is an exercise that's called the hell yes and the hell no. And we practice what it means to identify if our gut is going off and if something feels right or if it feels wrong. These are red flags. And some of them are pretty darn obvious, like they're caricatures. We've seen them on TV, like some shady looking guy with a big handlebar mustache and on trench coat with a bunch of watches hanging on the inside saying, hey, want a great deal? I get you a great deal on a watch. Like, that's obviously a red flag you're going to ignore. But when you're in a business meeting or a first date or at a gas station and someone approaches you, those things are a lot more subtle and it's a lot more challenging to be able to identify if you can trust what you're hearing and feeling. And that other person, especially if their intentions are malicious, they want you to believe them. What's that line? Believe what I tell you, not what you see. They want you to second guess yourself. They want you to question your own intuition and question your own gut because they want something out of you, whether it means that they want to close a deal where they end up winning and you end up losing, or whether it's a first date that's never going to go anywhere, but maybe they really want to get you home. You know, there's all these scenarios that result in red flags, and we need to start paying attention to what those are and calling them for what they are. If you get an uneasy feeling in your stomach, that's a sign. And it may not be in your stomach. Everybody's physiology responds to threat and emotional behavior a little bit differently. For some people, it's in your physical gut, like below the navel. For some people, it's in their solar plexus, which is basically below your sternum, but above your belly button. For some people, it feels like a very heavy weight right across the chest over the heart. For some people, it feels like a chain pulling them downward entirely of their whole body. And these physical sensations are not to be ignored. They are important. This is your body's intelligence telling you to pay attention. I can't count the number of stories I've heard and articles I've read where we hear about mothers who, out of the blue one day, are busy going about their business and suddenly their blood runs cold or their skin prickles or they get a chill down their spine. You know, these are all physical sensory experiences and they instinctively know one of their children is in danger. And then it turns out that they were right and they were able to intervene before something terrible happened. But if we're not listening to these tiny whispers of our intuition when they happen, then we're not going to be able to pick up the big messages when they're presented. So I've given you some examples. I want to give some scenarios so that you can practice using your gut. And again, my favorite one, which is the most benign, is driving in a car or taking a walk down a busy neighborhood. So depending on you and your situation, maybe you can drive, maybe you can take the subway, maybe you can ride a bike, or maybe you can walk. But here's a great scenario. You get your cell phone, get your keys, get your wallet, nothing else in your hand necessarily, or a bag or anything, just you and your hands and your pockets, and you're walking down the street or you're driving in your car and you have no particular place to go. You should be in a relaxed state of mind, not rushing, not thinking about a to-do list in your head, no timelines, no deadlines, nothing. Just you and yourself, and you're doing this specifically for practice. And you're driving down your road. I'm going to stick with the car metaphor. You're driving down your road. It should actually be a fairly busy traffic kind of day. Maybe if you work full time, maybe that's a Saturday at midday, something like that. And you're going to drive within the speed limit, of course, and you're going to start thinking to yourself, I'm going to open myself up to any messages that might be delivered to me. Should I turn left? Should I turn right? Should I continue forward? And you keep driving a little bit. And then you ask yourself again, should I turn left? Should I turn right? Should I go forward? Should I make a U-turn? Let your intuition guide you. Hopefully, you know, you've got a full tank of gas or you've got some food in your belly and you can go for a walk. But when you start this whole scenario, I want you to go out for the explicit purpose of telling yourself, I am going just to practice listening to my gut, listening to my intuition. And I'll give you an example. I have a friend who lives in New York City. She lives in Brooklyn. She was talking to me about how she was raised in her family and her culture to be very, very fearful of strangers, specifically of men. And I completely relate, not only because of socialization, but because I have physically experienced violence and distress from men. And she told me she had to unlearn a lot of this and deprogram herself from this. And she went through exactly this scenario. She left the house one day when fairly early morning. She, you know, had her keys and her wallet and her cell phone. She just went for a walk, started walking around her neighborhood, started venturing out a little bit further and a little bit further. And she was accustomed to ignoring all men who would walk by her, walk past her. And instead, she started to listen to her gut. And one particular man she saw on his stoop, which is like an East Coast thing, it's the front of your house. He was sitting on a stoop and she looked at him and he looked at her and he said, hello, how are you today? And she said, hello, I'm good, thank you, and kept walking. And for her, that was a huge win because she had been trained to fear any of interactions like this. And this is the work. This is the hard stuff that is required if you're going to become better. You have to put yourself in slightly uncomfortable situations that are safe, obviously, where you can practice listening to your intuition. And maybe it goes against the way you were raised, but maybe that's a good thing. Obviously, only you know what's right for you and what's not. But I want you to at least try. Even if it's just something as simple as going to the grocery store with your list and then taking 10, 20 minutes to just walk around and sense, ask yourself, hey self, what is a good thing for me to look at here in the store today? What might I buy that would benefit my health today? What is something interesting that might be enjoyable for me that I would normally overlook? And your body and your intuition will guide you. It's amazing. You're going to be absolutely blown away at how powerful this exercise is. It's small, but it's mighty. Now, the last part of what I'm going to go over with you before I say goodbye for today is we're going to talk a little bit about the language around accepting an offer and declining an offer. What I mean by that is half of the reason we're using our intuition in decision making is because we're being offered things all day long, all the time, from every direction. And a lot of the times we are raised, especially, again, us female presenting folks, we're raised to be people pleasers. We're raised to say yes to everything by default and never speak our needs, never express our boundaries. And we are very unaccustomed to saying no. So what I would love to do is give you some language around that. So I'm going to give you a few phrases. Imagine this. You are at work and a coworker comes up to you and offers you some cookies, something that you absolutely positively know you should not be eating for any number of reasons. Maybe it's a dietary thing. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe you don't eat animal products. Maybe you're avoiding sugar. Doesn't matter. That part doesn't matter at all. What matters is you're being offered a cookie and you don't want it. And this person is very nice and they're being very respectful, but you feel that you're being bullied, or you feel you're being pushed around, or you feel that you're being pressured. Take a breath. Remember that you are in control of your own life and no one is going to make you do anything you don't want to do. So here's some language for this situation. When you're getting an offer that you don't want to accept because it doesn't feel good to you and your intuition is saying no, here's some examples. No, I'm good. Thank you. Oh, I appreciate it, but I'm not interested. No, thanks. Oh, that's so kind of you. I really appreciate that. I'm not interested, though. Thanks for that. That was kind of you to think of me. I'm already full. I've already eaten. Thank you. Oh, that looks great. Awesome. I'm not really hungry, but you may want to offer it to that person over there. See how I did that? We're saying no, we're being respectful, we're keeping our tone of voice calm and relaxed, and we're also stating a very simple boundary. Notice I didn't over-explain myself. I didn't tell them, oh, well, I'm a vegan and I keep kosher, so I clearly can't eat your crappy cookie. I just told them, no, thank you. I'm okay. I appreciate it. Typically, saying no with gratitude and having that firmness, undertone in your voice is sufficient. What I would do with this language for this example is practice in a mirror. Mirror work is amazing and incredibly powerful. So literally, when you're listening to this and you want to just, you know, rewind a couple of minutes and go back to these examples, stand in front of your mirror with your headphones on, look in the mirror, and practice saying no thank you in any of these various ways in the mirror to yourself. Pretend that you're talking to that one person who's constantly pressuring you. And practice it and practice it and practice it and practice it until it becomes annoying and redundant and repetitive and you are just sick of it. By that point, it's going to start to become second nature and you'll be able to start saying no much more easily and much more confidently. I promise. So again, that language is very simple. No thanks. I really appreciate it. I'm not interested. No, thank you. Thanks for the offer. Oh, yeah, that was really kind of you. No, thank you. Notice again that I'm constantly lowering the pitch of my voice just a little at the end of each sentence so that they understand that mine is a firm no. Because if I was to raise my voice at the end of the sentence, as in, no, thank you, I really appreciate it, it sounds like a question. It sounds like I'm not certain. It sounds like I'm doubting myself. That's not the impression that you want to leave with people. So again, give a gratitude, say no thank you, and slightly lower the tone of your voice at the end of the statement, and you're going to sound resolute and calm, and no one's going to be insulted. And here's the best part. If someone is offended because you said no to their cookie, they need to build a bridge and get over it, because it's not your problem and your job is not to make their lives happier and easier. Every person is responsible for their own joy and everyone is responsible for the energy they bring into a room. So keep that in mind. I want to thank you so much for listening. It's been amazing. Again, this is Na'ama. You can find me on Instagram at Na'ama Segal. You can find me on Facebook at Na'ama Segal Coaching. My website is www.na'amasegal.com. And I can't wait for any comments and feedback that you have about this episode. Drop me a line. Tell me what you're interested in learning about next. And I can't wait to make a podcast about it. Thanks so much. And remember, you got this. Let's get you better together. Bye.